Time rocks footy.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
Talk about doing something ridiculous for a bit of cash.
Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
Thanks for putting up with me.
To keep these two in check.
Jay, I've just noticed something. How well are you going this morning? Your top's inside out.
Fox footy, Sarah Olley.
You're looking great.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, good morning and welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Olley. How are we going this morning?
Good morning, Sarah.
Morning, Jay. It's a bit of a cold, dreary old morning,
yeah,
isn't it? Feel for all the parents out there that have to go and watch their kids play a bit of soccer or football this weekend in their jackets. It's going to be cold, but yeah, this is a time of year when you really got to dig in, don't you,
yep,
as either a player or as a parent, getting out in the cold and the wet, wintry days. But that's why we do it. We love it.
Didn't Damien Hardwick call June? Was it June or July?
July, big boy month. Yeah, it is, because it is. It's tough. It's tough this time of year, even for the AFL players, getting up and getting out to train, and you know, it gets colder and you've got to put the leggings on, doing the ice baths. Everything becomes harder in June and July. I don't think it's just for footballers. I think for everyone in general, isn't it? Everything becomes a bit harder in June and July through these dark months.
Were you a leggings man, Joey, when you trained?
Yes, I was a leggings
but
long
shorts
sleeve.
Shorts over the leggings?
Always did the shorts over.
Because that's a shocking look.
No, we always did the shorts over the top and always wore the long sleeve for training.
Bit cold for you, Joey.
Yeah. Just like staying warm, get a sweat up, try to lose a kilo.
Sarah.
Yes.
You got a netball grand final this week?
Yes, we're through. So on Monday night, we beat a team who's had the wood over us all season, Joey. They beat us twice beforehand. And then the semi-final, we upset them. So,
got them. Outdoors, yeah, or do you play indoor?
Outdoors.
You do play outdoors.
So it's a winter sport. Out in the elements, in the rain.
Monday night.
Very brave.
Night. Ooh, very
8:45 in Richmond on Monday. Yeah,
you seem like a little, are you a little wing attacker or a centre?
Yes, sort of, I'm a mid-court player,
yeah,
Joe.
I can tell.
Now, any advice for me?
For grand finals?
Yes.
Well, you're asking the wrong person. Yeah. Do you have extra time if it's a draw?
I'm not sure about that, though.
Do you have to go back the following Monday night if it's a draw?
Oh, I bloody hope not. But no, very exciting.
Bit harsh. You're a big game player, Joe. You tried your hardest.
In a grand final, just try your best.
Yes.
Try your best.
Try your best. That's all I got for you. I don't have a lot.
Well, I'll get back to you next Saturday to see if trying
he's
the best
scarred,
work. A big show coming up. We're going to speak to Sydney Swans young gun Ollie Florent after a big win last night for the Swans, 19-point win.
You're happy? You're
over the
Sydney,
Hawks.
You're so Sydney Swans?
I'm up and about.
Can they make the finals, the Swans?
Well, I'm just looking at the ladder then, Joe.
No.
We're only two games behind the Tigers in eight.
No chance.
Can we be honest about this?
Always a chance.
Games played at the SCG.
Shocking.
Not the greatest.
Oh, God.
Most watchable games you've ever seen.
It always is hard to watch, isn't it, footy at the SCG?
You're not thinking, oh, Sydney's playing tonight, I can't wait.
And I've got a bit of a theory too. When you watch games on TV at the SCG, do you ever notice it looks different watching on the far side of the ground? I reckon the camera angle at the SCG is a bit lower than at the MCG or at Marvel or watching at other stadiums. So it always looks, that depth perception always looks a bit off at the SCG. The far side of the ground, it's
really
always a bit harder.
Delving deep into
it. Yeah, I've always noticed it. You just watch when you watch a game at the SCG, it looks different on TV. I reckon the camera's a bit lower than some of the other stadiums, and it just makes it harder to watch the play on the far side of the field.
Because it's usually
all the
not
big
so
issues
good.
And more on the Dead Set Legends.
We're also going to speak to Andrew Simons, Roy, about the World Cup. The Aussies have a big game coming up on Monday night against England, and that's going to be an interesting game, Jay, because last night the Poms couldn't even chase down 233.
Is that for real, that result? Like, I cannot believe that. Like, at home, imagine being the English press. Like, they'd be going hard. Like,
Having a field day, wouldn't they?
Amazing. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Yeah. At least for them, probably get it out of the way in these sort of group stages rather than in a final is probably the one thing that I'd be thinking if you look at a positive.
Yeah.
So they'll bounce back.
I reckon they would have preferred to win.
Of course they would. But you're going to have a game, aren't you? I don't reckon you want to go into the semi-finals undefeated.
And excuse me, Lasith Malinga is still going around.
Yeah, I know.
How old's that guy?
Yeah, he's been playing for a long time.
And playing very well.
But he's got one. Hooks around the corner. The big man. He's got two. Looks to go to Buddy. Frawley comes back. Buddy's got the one-hander.
Oh, Bud.
How good's this man? Bud's got four.
Yes, Callum Sinclair, game 100. Look at him go. Big fist pump.
Oh. Big slide. What about that from this young superstar, Blakey?
Blakey leans back on the kick, finishes it, enjoys it, and hurts the Hawks.
Yes, a 19-point win to the Swans last night over Hawthorn. And Nick Blakey, I'm definitely going to talk to Ollie Florent about Nick Blakey and his performance because he's really emerging as a story. But, Jay, let's focus on the Hawks right now. Where are they at the moment?
It's a concern, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what were they, the oldest or second oldest list?
The oldest list heading into this weekend.
Round? Yep. And they're a bit on the slide, aren't they? Yeah. So they've got massive decisions about some of the older players at the footy club. So Birchall, Frawley, Shawnee Burgoyne, Jared Ruffhead. We know this is
Poppy
as well. So they're going to be like North Melbourne in the way that they lose, what, 1,200, 1,300 games off their list at the end of the season.
Yep.
Can they top up and trade again, or do they go to the draft? You probably think they go to the draft, but it's being laid bare all before us over the past month. Are they 5-8 now, Joey?
Yep.
I mean, they're out of contention.
Yeah, that's the reality of the football cycle. You can't be up all the time, and they're just going through a transition now. All these wonderful players that were part of their premiership success have been wonderful servants of the footy club. At some point, you start getting on in age, and we've seen other clubs go through it. I mean, St Kilda, we sort of went through it after those grand finals in sort of 2012, 13, where all the older players had to move on because your time comes. And Hawthorn are just in a transition. They've got a bit of work to do with their list. I think they've actually still got a lot of very good players. And when they've got their best team on paper, and you start looking at Tom Mitchell coming back with O'Meara, Warple's a good young player. You know, Gunston and Bruce are still very good players. Wingard, Sicily, etc. For me, it's more their key position play. Their key backs, key forwards is probably where they're struggling. So they're going to have to find some. And they're probably harder to get. And that's probably the issue. You can always go and bring in a good midfielder, you know, Tom Scully or some players. But trying to bring in really good key position players is probably much harder. And that's at the moment, I think, their weakness.
You know what they need to do? They need to go and get Johnny Patton. Would he not help?
Probably.
There's some talk around that, isn't there?
So, yes, he's had the knee reconstructions, obviously. But get him in the goal square. He's a number one pick.
He's a big boy.
You get him for cheap. Again, like they did Tom Scully. Yep. You pay him $600. I think if he's not at Hawthorn next year, I'll be genuinely surprised.
Yep, it's not a bad one. I don't mind that.
You get him for not much.
Well, and if we know Clarko, he'll have some plans in the works. And that usually has involved, at least recently, you know, at the trade table. Not so much at the draft, but do we think, Joey, that they need to probably start looking more at the draft?
I still think you need to bring through some kids, but they've made a decision. It looks like clearly a decision to go in a different tack to every other club and not necessarily rely on first round draft picks to be the answer for the future. And I, in some ways, agree, because we've had this chat on air before, Jay, that if you look at history, having a top 20 pick doesn't guarantee that they're going to be a good player. I think only maybe 45% of those players end up being a 200 game, you know, playing really good senior football. So they decided to give away your first round draft pick, eliminate the luck of maybe getting a really good player, and go and get someone who you know is a bona fide good footballer. Go and get Tom Mitchell, go and get O'Meara, go and get Wingard, play like a Johnny Patton, where you've seen them and you know what you're going to get. I don't mind that. I think they'll still continue to do that. I think if you look at those core group of players, they are probably all 23, 24. So maybe keep getting those age group of type of players from other clubs. But you still need to get some kids. But I think maybe they rely on getting those third, fourth round picks and trying to pluck a, you know, a James Warple or a few of them.
45, I think he was.
Exactly right. He's so they've had a theory that just because it's a top 20 pick doesn't guarantee you're going to get a bona fide AFL player.
And James Sicily last night, playing forward.
Yeah.
Do you like that move?
No, I don't. No, he's an All-Australian halfback. Yep. And I think sometimes, and I know it's a bit difficult because of where their team's at and the structure, but I always don't like seeing, you know, Rob Peter to pay Paul. Play your best player in their best position where they're an All-Australian potential. It's a little bit like Sydney Swans. Talk about Heaney and Mills. Should we get them in the midfield? I think they're only average midfielders, but I think Mills can be an All-Australian halfback.
And
I think Heaney can be an All-Australian half forward. So play them where their strengths are. Don't sort of, you know, take away their key strength to try and fill another void.
I reckon he's their best player, James Sicily.
Yeah,
I reckon he's almost more important than Jager O'Meara, especially when Tommy Mitchell comes back. Sicily's the difference for them. You know what the elephant in the room for Hawthorn is? Alistair Clarkson. So when he has this list management discussion, do you reckon he's going to say, let's go back to the draft for the next 3 years and finish bottom four? I don't think so.
It's not his style, is it?
No. He's going to want to still contend. So what if Hawthorn says, no, we're going to the draft, we're going to be not that much good for the next 3 years. He's contracted to 2022 and he can see the Carlton job where the hard work is already done. If I'm Carlton, I'm getting the biggest carrot I can find and I'm dangling that in front of Clarks and say, mate, finish your legacy, transform this club. Oh, Joe, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I'm shaking. Dangle a carrot as much as you like. You're not going to get Clark out of Hawthorn.
He's said, hasn't he?
I think that's a very selfish mindset to say, oh, I don't want to be at Hawthorn. I want to go to another club. Clarko's said that he wants to stay at Hawthorn. He will do what's best for the club. So if they say we need to rebuild, I'm sure 100% Clarko would be absolutely saying, you're right, we need to rebuild. And I'm a part of it.
Yep.
I don't think Clarko's going to say, sorry, you want to rebuild. No, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to try and bring in players to win a flag.
It's a fiery start to the show.
He's very fired up, isn't he?
Clarko's staying. He's not going. Every club should dangle a carrot at Clarko because he's the best coach in the comp.
If I'm Carlton, I'm getting the biggest kitchen sink I can find.
Go and get right everything. I don't think he'll leave.
Now, last night, the Swans had a 19-point win, and joining us on the line to discuss everything that was involved was Ollie Florent. Ollie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, Ollie, four of the last six you guys have won. Do you feel like things are starting to turn for the Swans this season?
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. I think at the start of the year, we were, you know, a bit worried about sort of how we were playing and needed to change a few things. And it's really good to see sort of things turning right now and obviously get some wins on the board.
So what is that, Ollie? What has changed?
I think just a lot more belief and confidence in the way we're sort of playing at the moment is, you know, and also winning has taken us to sort of another level this year. And it's credit to the leaders and the older players for really leading the sort of the young guys come through as well.
What about Luke Parker? So am I right in thinking, Ollie, that he started the season playing forward, sort of that half forward role, now more midfield, right in the guts again, 31 touches last night?
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I think, I'm not sure, he's playing from sort of two roles, forward and midfield, and wherever he goes, he can play both. He can play as a forward midfielder, and he's definitely lifted his game this year and bringing everyone else along with him.
Ollie, there's been a lot of talk about your coach, John Longmire, and he's much sought after. From your perspective, what makes him such a good coach?
I think he's got a really good balance. He can be tough when he wants to be, and then he can sort of get around you and help you out. He's got a really good relationship with his teammates as well. He's easy to speak to and ask for advice off. But yeah, he has a really strong belief in the group that, you know, we can take it to the next level, even though we have such a young playing group at the moment.
Ollie, can you just tell him to lighten up in the presses a little bit? Like, he gives us the straight face, real boring stuff. It puts me to sleep in there. We know he's a funny guy. So, Horse, lighten up when the cameras are on. But why does he persist with this boring stuff in the presses? We know he's a good bloke.
Yeah, he's actually quite funny, but I'm not sure he tries to be. I think I just sort of laugh at him all the time just because, I don't know, he's a great man. And
who is the coach?
Light him up around the presses.
Who is the coach, Ollie, amongst the group that tries to, you know, throw the gags? And there's always one assistant coach or the senior coach that tries to do the gags and light them. Who is that?
We've got a fair few at the club.
Yeah.
Stevie J, St. Cox, the two that just constantly go at it and don't stop talking about their own careers, which is pretty funny. But there's probably a few others that follow.
Is it true that both of those coaches you just mentioned have been on some kind of diet, Ollie?
Maybe for like a couple of days, but I'm not sure I lasted too long.
Ollie, were you there, Ollie, when Steve Johnson kicked that goal from the boundary? Like, apparently all the city boys.
Yeah.
Can you just take us through that for a second?
Unbelievable. Oh, well, Stevie played a game, I'm not sure for who, but he kicked a couple, and then for his third or fourth goal, he's got it on the boundary right in front of about 15 of the boys and just slotted it straight through, and he just gave us a look, and I think half the team tried to run after him. It was pretty funny. It was unbelievable.
He was loving himself sick. We're talking to Ollie Florent from the Sydney Swans. Now, Ollie, talking about goal kickers, last night Nick Blakey kicked two really important goals, and he's emerging as a really important player in your side. Can you tell us a bit about the kid? What's he like?
The Lizard's great value.
The Lizard?
Yes.
He is an unbelievable talent. As shown last night, he's in his first year, and he can do some really special things, and he's playing a really important role for us at the moment down forward, and he's really exciting to watch and a great bloke to play alongside as well.
I will never not think of him of anything else other than the Lizard. Yeah. I will think that he's his nickname forever. Well done, Ollie. Hey, what about Buddy? We've got to ask a serious question. How's his hamstring? Didn't look good. Have you spoken to him this morning? How long is he going to be out for, Ollie?
I spoke to him last night. It's really hard to tell because he hasn't had scans yet, so I think we'll find out after that, but hopefully it's not too long as he's a pretty important player.
Very important indeed. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ollie, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Good player too, Ollie Florent. Really stepped up in the midfield this year.
I reckon one of these future young stars. All-Australian on the wing, Joey.
Future
pencil
All-Australian.
It in.
They've got a few future All-Australians. Nick Blakey, speaking of All-Australians.
The Lizard.
How good's that?
He'll be an All-Australian. Will Haywood potentially, Papley. They've still got some young talent there, absolutely.
Big discussion in footy at the moment is about the skills, isn't it?
Yep.
Like, it doesn't seem to the polish.
Well, I know where you're going with this. The reason why is when there is someone who's highly talented, it stands out, doesn't it? And you're going to mention Nick Blakey. His kicking is unbelievable. It stands out.
Gary Lime calls them butterfly kicks.
Just
or
the
something,
nice little weighted kicks. That's how you want them delivered as a
forward.
They do. They're beautiful.
And as a big guy who's got that mobility,
he is an
exceptional talent. And Ollie belongs in the same basket.
Yep.
Like I remember Sydney were absolutely thrilled when they got their hands on him, and he can make the ball sing, Joey, like you did.
Right?
Right. Thank you, Joey.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yes, we just spoke to Sydney young gun Ollie Florent after Sydney had a 19-point win against the Hawks last night, 12-10-82, defeating Hawthorn 9-9-63. Sarah still thinks there are chances to make the 8. Jay
they
and
are.
I think they're no chance.
Joey.
They are mathematically possible. I think the 8 is almost. I think there's only one team outside the 8 that can make it. I think Port Adelaide's probably the only team. Unless St Kilda beat Brisbane today, and then St Kilda is still a sneaky chance.
Oh, spare me. So you think the Saints can get in, but the Swans can't?
Yes. But I think only Port Adelaide are probably the only team outside the 8 that can come in.
So who drops?
That's very wrong.
Well, no, I think the 8 is almost set.
Is it set or not?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I think Port Adelaide are the only... I'll put it this way. There's only 9 teams that can play finals.
Do you think the 8 will be the 8?
Yes. I'm worried about Richmond. I think Richmond, depending on when they get players back, they're still the one that I'm still a bit iffy on.
Really?
Port Adelaide, the smoky for me still. They're getting some good players back, but I think there's only 9 teams that can play finals, and unfortunately Sydney are not one of them.
And
Sarah?
Neither is St Kilda, Joe.
Okay. Well, I didn't put St Kilda in it because I said 9, and that's Port Adelaide. I've left St Kilda out. But I think they're more of a chance than Sydney. Anyway, we've gone off track here. what else? Saturday scoreboard, we know West Coast defeated Essendon by 35 points Thursday night. Should have been 85 points. They absolutely smacked them. The NRL, State of Origin, this crept up on me. Game 2 is tomorrow night in Perth at Optus Stadium. So looking forward, if you're a State of Origin fan.
Sellout crowd there.
Sellout crowd, yep. It's going to be game on. So New South Wales need to bounce back. Hopefully take it to a decider. The soccer, the Matildas.
Yes.
The girls, they're playing tomorrow morning. 5 a.m.
Are you getting up? Alarm
Sunday
set?
Morning, 5 a.m. Depends on how big of a night I have tonight. I reckon I will. I've got nothing on.
The Sam Kerr show.
Sam Kerr. She needs to score.
Ooh,
she kicked 4 goals
she?
During the week against Jamaica. She needs to score for the Socceroos.
Unbelievable
it's
effort.
It's not the Socceroos.
I love Sam Kerr. What an absolute star.
She's almost one of our best athletes.
No. She is.
He's
one
our
of our best athletes.
Our best athlete.
Kerr and Ash Barty. I'm putting them both up there. Girl
Ben
power.
Simmons. Ben Simmons has got to be up there as one of our best athletes.
Yeah, I'll get him on the podium.
Okay.
However. The last goal. What was the keeper doing?
Oh, my goodness. She had an absolute mare. Well,
we say 4 goals, but I got an asterisk on the 4th.
Yeah. An assist from the goalkeeper there.
Fair income.
And, of course, the Cricket World Cup, as Jay mentioned off the top, England got rolled last night by Sri Lanka. They were only chasing 232, the Poms, but they were bowled out for 212. And then their next game, they face Australia at Lords on Tuesday night. So
and
an
we'll
absolute beauty.
Speak to Roy about that as well.
We'll have a chat to Roy Simons about all that in the next hour. But there's some of the sport that's happening around the country.
Got to pick one. We pick one?
Yeah, pick
we
one.
We do pick one. I've got an absolute beauty because they're going to play on each other today. Who would you prefer? And this is going to be a bit prickly for Melbourne fans. So I understand if they want to go to the coffee urn and pour themselves something, get a chamomile tea. Who would you rather, Jesse Hogan or Stephen May?
Good one. I think they're both superstars. I must admit, I think Stephen May is going
to be
very...
Joey.
I'd take Jesse Hogan. Go to the Dockers.
You're a bit compromised there, though, aren't you?
He's a paid employee of the Fremantle Footy Club.
Hey, Jesse.
He did run. He ran
15.3 kilometres or something, he's an endurance beast, Jesse Hogan.
Don't worry. Is he a key forward?
See, I think, this is a good argument. I don't necessarily think he's a full forward. I think he's almost a flanker that can get up the ground, take 10, 11 marks, have 17, 18 touches, kick a couple of goals. That's how I see Jesse Hogan. I think that's probably been a little bit of the issue that I think has been misunderstood from some media experts about Jesse Hogan's year, because they've looked at his goals and gone, he's only kicked however many goals. He's actually more of an up-the-ground link player and working up and down the grounds than necessarily out of the goal square as the big gorilla.
This is why Joey delivers all the headlines for this show, because Joey's just basically said that Jesse Hogan's the most highly paid half-forward flanker in the game. I can see it now, Joey. $1 million a year flanker.
Well, is he? He's a good player.
He just said.
No, I said that's probably, I think he's better up getting up the ground than necessarily playing out of the goal square.
I agree with you, Joe.
Who would you take?
I'd take Jesse as well.
Yep.
I'm still not sold yet on Stephen May. I need to see a bit more from him.
Yeah.
What about you, Jay?
Yeah, for Melbourne, because they had Wiedemann and Tom McDonald and a fragile defence.
That's not the question. If you had your team for next season, which player would you put in your team?
Well, you're going to take a very good forward or a very good defender. You always take
forward.
The very good forward, don't
always.
You?
Always, every day of the week.
What about Jarrad McVay or Sean Burgoyne?
If
one of them was to play on next season, they're both, I think, both 35 years of age. Yeah. Both being superstars, we know that. But who would you want more likely to have in your team for next season if one of them was to play on?
Sarah, this is why I'm in charge of the pick one, because he serves up these half volleys. Who is the best ball user in the competition other than Scotty Pendlebury? Sean Burgoyne still.
I love that. You're just throwing your mate there.
Yeah, you're Sean right. Burgoyne. I agree. Jarrad McVay.
Hang on a second. You would take Sean Burgoyne every day of the week. So, what do we call
it? Is this to play or is this to coach?
To play next season. One of these veterans to play one more year, to play on at 36 years of age.
You'd have Jarrad McVay.
Across halfback, I'd take Jarrad McVay. His composure, he does his ball use, his leadership. Sean Burgoyne's been an absolute superstar. I love him to death, the Sean Burgoyne. But I think for next season at their age, and just looking, I know Jarrad McVay's got more of the injury troubles than Sean Burgoyne, but I'd take McVay.
Ross Lyon calls you the difference, and it's gone to your head.
If Ross Lyon rang me and said, Joey, I want Sean Burgoyne or Jarrad McVay to play at Freo next year, one of them, which one would you take? I'd say, Rossi, take Jarrad McVay.
No, I think you've officially lost it this morning,
yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Righto. Good work.
The difference, Lee Montagna.
It's gone to your head.
Anyway.
What about pick one? Mm. Okay. Now, we look outside. It's raining. It's a typical...
It's dreary.
Melbourne, gray. Wintry morning. And, Rabs, I want you to think about this as well. If you could have one winter meal.
Oh.
Pick one winter meal. Just marinating.
Not sugar.
Go again. Rabsy.
Sugar.
If you could only pick one, just you're going home, just bubbling away in the slow cooker, what would you have?
Lamb shanks.
Oh,
mashed
delicious.
Potato, peas and vegetables.
I'm salivating just thinking about a good
lamb
shank.
How good's a lamb shank? It just falls off the bone.
Yep.
Glass of red wine with it in the middle of winter.
Before.
Watching the footy. How good. You?
Well, yum. But I'm thinking for me, a delicious bowl of pasta.
Yeah, you're a real pasta girl, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe
a
nice...
What's
your go-to? Well,
pasta?
There is a beautiful restaurant down the road called Park Street Pasta and Wine, and they do this amazing rabbit agnolotti this beautiful burnt butter and sage sauce. And I'll tell you what, it's got my name written all over it, Joe.
You got some competition, Joey, on the
Wasn't
Italian.
Agnolotti. What about you?
Sugar.
Ribs.
Ooh.
Fair dinkum. Okay. Are you ever having a bad time with a whole rack of ribs?
The only thing about ribs, though, is you get a bit dirty, don't you?
Yeah, messy, but just go for it.
Mate, you lick your fingers and have a great time doing it, don't you? Radzi, yeah. You?
I like a beef bourguignon.
Ooh.
With a bit of mashed potato.
Yeah.
Or bangers and mash. You can't go wrong with bangers and mash and onion gravy.
Yeah, no, that's pretty yum.
Yeah.
What's your favourite winter meal? Sausages.
Oh, how good.
Oh, very cultured on this show.
Beef bourguignon to start with.
Yes.
So, give me that.
That's true.
Anything with a nice bottle of red. Now, just before we were talking about beautiful winter meals, and it got us thinking, Jay, favourite restaurants in Melbourne, far away.
Oh, I went to an absolute beauty last night. Never been to it before. Matilda, next to Botanical, near the gardens there. Amazing. The beef. Oh, unbelievable. Duck. It was... Truly, it might have just shot to my number one favourite of all time.
Favourite. Yep. And they cook everything on coals there.
They're good. You've been there.
I know. Yeah, your eyes light up when we talk food.
I was there Thursday.
Sarah.
I know. Sport and food. My
Go
two
there.
Loves. It's absolutely delicious.
What's your guys' number one Melbourne restaurant?
Well, it is my birthday this week. And on Thursday night, I thought I want to go somewhere a bit fun.
Spoil yourself?
Yeah. So we're going to Francois, which is a Melbourne institution, Joey. Beautiful
yes,
French
I've been
food.
To Francois.
And it's BYO Monday to Friday.
Really?
So I'm going to take a nice bottle of champers and treat myself
Beautiful.
On my birthday.
Oh, probably just a good steak, whether it's the railway in Port Melbourne or maybe Rockpool at Crown. Somewhere you can get a beautiful steak and some nice sides. That'll do me.
What's your favourite side?
chips or mashed potato. Oh, super. I'm a mushroom. I like mushrooms. Yeah. Really good mushrooms. Yeah. But
real carb man, aren't you, Joey?
I am now.
Rabsy, favourite Melbourne restaurant?
I'm Francois with Sarah. Yes. Although Cicciolina in St Kilda is very good as well.
Uh-huh. What about Tonka? Modern Indian.
Yes, that's delicious. Hard to get a booking at Tonka.
Yeah, right in there.
Well, you should go.
Sure, you should know.
It's delicious.
Eating everywhere else, Joey.
Would that be your dream job? Would your dream job be a food critic? Would that be your dream job?
Yes, and my superpower would be to eat whatever I want and not put on weight, Joey.
Oh, tell me about it.
I'm due for a run.
All right, plenty more to come in the next hour of Triple M's Dead Set Legends. We're going to talk to Andrew Symons about the World Cup, and then later in the show, we're going to grill the difference man over here, Joey.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Now, a very big story breaking this week, Jay, and you reported on it throughout the week.
Front page.
Front page.
Jay Clark.
Twice.
Twice front page. Pretty easy, didn't he? Two-time front pager.
Mr. Big Shot over here. But Jaden Stevenson, now, some people think he's been stupid, some people think he's been silly, but what's happened is he's received a 22-match ban, 12 of which were suspended, and a $20,000 fine, Jay, for three separate bets totaling $36 on games that he was involved in.
What a lucky boy, to be honest. How fortunate for this young man that he hasn't been suspended for a year. Like, I can cop it in a way if you've just had a multi on other games, but to be betting on your own game... Like, you've either A, got a really bad problem, right, which some people do and there's help for that, or it is the absolute height of stupidity. No one will be more foolish in the AFL system than Jaden Stevenson this year. Like, he could absolutely influence those games. Like, so the AFL investigators have gone back and checked every kick and shot on goal to make sure, you know, he hasn't match fixed in a way. And yes, you know, he was betting on positive results. But to do that, he has absolute inside knowledge. He knows where Adam Treloar's playing. He knows who's starting forward. He gets to kick to the player that he's bet on. Like, how ridiculous, how lucky that he can come back and redeem himself in the finals this season, Joey.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And you're right, but has he been, I mean, the suspension has been reduced because of the come forward factor, came forward, completely owned up to it.
Well, Joey,
didn't try and be deceitful
or
hide anything. Is that why it was reduced to be able to play this year?
So if he makes a flippant remark in the change rooms and says, oh, Howie, geez, you cost me my multi this week. Is that self-reporting? Because if Howie then goes to him, and let's talk hypothetically a little bit.
Yeah.
Howie says, you did what? You bet on our game.
Yeah.
Hang on, mate. You know that's a big no-no. Is that self-reporting or is that Howie in the moment, urging a young player to do the right thing? And what about the temptation in that moment to keep it quiet? Like if Howie sat down Steve-O in the corner of the change rooms and said, hang on, we got a big problem here, Steve-O. Let's pretend we never had this conversation and make it just go away. And then Steve-O plays, no one finds out about it. It's a mate's bet. Like, it's to his mate's account. Like, there's that temptation, clearly.
And on that, is there a sentiment that maybe that's what should have been done? Is there a bit of an awkwardness there at the moment?
I reckon in old school footy clubs, that goes away.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago, that conversation doesn't go to Jeff Walsh, yeah. I think. But he's done the right thing, you know, he's brought it forward because if that gets revealed without him stepping forward, then he maybe does get a 5-year ban or a life ban or something like that. So, you know, he has done the right thing, but it just shows the change in times.
Let's talk about on the field then, Joey.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk that it's going to really... Stevenson's absence will impact Collingwood because he's quite unique with his skill set in the forward line. How do you see it impacting the Magpies?
I think it will impact them, but luckily for Collingwood, they've got so much talent that it won't impact them significantly. But really, I think the way Stevenson plays this season and last year, I reckon he's revolutionised a bit about how teams structure up with their forward line. I think now, if you look at that type of player with speed and that X factor out of the goal square, in some cases, the most important players in the teams, you look at Charlie Cameron coming out of the goal square at Adelaide, you look at Orazio Fantasia, how important he is to Essendon. You see Michael Walters now when he goes and plays deep for Fremantle. There's other players in the competition. That's type of player. It's becoming a really important role, I think, for footy clubs, and he's going to be sorely missed. Luckily, they get Jamie Elliott that'll come back in the side. They've got enough talent there. They'll be okay without him. But yeah, you're right. Does he come straight back in, Jay? This is the one, because I'll tell you what, Sarah, for the next 10 weeks, he's going to be getting flogged on the training track. He's going to be working his backside off. He's going to be doing Saturday morning sessions by himself, doing all these one-on-one drills. He'll be fit. It's just whether they pick him straight up for a final after 10 weeks off.
And absolutely no doubt they do. Like him and Dugowie, that was the best forward combination. Yeah. But you spot on with your point, Joey, because we previously likened full forwards to size.
The old days,
if you're a
yeah.
big guy, yeah. right? If you're strong and you're tall, you play full forward. Was size, now it's speed,
yep.
isn't it?
Speed, clearly. Yep. The guys that can make something happen, the yep. X-factor players are the ones that are, I reckon, crucial to teams to get a winning game. If you don't necessarily have the superstar, like a Josh Kennedy at the West Coast Eagles or a Buddy Franklin, if you've got them, of course, they're still your best players, Tom Hawkins. But if you don't, the speedy small that can make stuff happen, they are very important to teams this year.
So you're adamant he just walks straight back in.
Oh, if he does all the right things, I'll be surprised. I mean, Tyson Goldsack walked straight back in off a knee.
Yeah, but this is where senior players, I think, can do it because they've got that maturity, that experience. They've played a lot of footy. He's only a 20-year-old. He's still a young kid.
Season.
It's his second season. So it is a big ask. He will be fit. I'll give him granting that. And probably the position he plays, he can come strapping it. But what if Collingwood win 8 of their last 10 games and they're in great form? And there's still a lot of question marks. He's put his season in jeopardy, no doubt, from his incredibly stupid decision.
As a senior player at Collingwood, Joey, how would you be approaching the situation across the next 10 weeks?
It's ruthless, but it's like he's just an injured player. He's out. He's not in the team. You move on with the 22 you've got, and you just do what you do with what you've got, and you forget about him, unfortunately, and you just keep rolling.
It's interesting now the structure. So Ben Reid is in the squad. We're thinking he's going to play. Three tools. For the first time for Collingwood. Cox, Mychek, and Reid. So Nathan Buckley, Joey, is... He's just going to experiment.
Yeah, I think you've got to try it at some stage this year to see what it looks like, to get a look at it. Probably a good week to do it against the Bulldogs, who don't have a whole plethora of key defenders. And the issue, though, Jay, if it works, what if the three tools all work and does he just persist with it for a few weeks? Or it's going to be interesting until Jamie Elliott comes back. But, yeah, we'll wait and see.
If they're playing a grand final, it's not with three tools, I reckon. One of those boys are going to be unlucky.
I agree.
Now, the Aussies boys, they're doing pretty well over in England at the moment. They've played six times for five wins, but a big match coming up on Tuesday against England. We've got Andrew Simons on the line to chat through everything for that match. Roy, thanks for joining us.
No problem. How are you going?
Good. Now, Roy, last time we spoke to you, you said a few things, one of which South Africa would choke.
Guru.
Nostradamus.
And look at you there, spot on with that one. They're not doing too well. But the Aussies, a big game against England coming up. How do you see that one playing out, especially after the Poms had a little stumble against Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I also said, look, England have never won the World Cup. And we've won it five times. And they got knocked off by Bangladesh last night. Not on a great surface, but teams, if you think you're a contender, you don't lose to teams like that through the World Cup. Sri Lanka aren't the team they were in yesteryear. They're not as strong. They're not a bad side, but they've had stronger teams over the years. So for England to get knocked off by them, you just wonder whether they're starting to think maybe too far ahead, or the pressure's starting to build because it's getting to that point where you want to be thinking potentially about your best team for finals and all that sort of thing. There's a lot of questions that they'll be asking themselves now. And it's how you handle that pressure, which is so important.
And you're onto that. You said the pressure might be the thing that is the stumbling block for the Poms. But take us back to when you spoke about South Africa. You did nail it on the head. How have you seen South Africa's demise? Because it was probably worse than even how you predicted it, their performance in this World Cup.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just, having played against them so much in big games and World Cups and just seeing how they handle that pressure, I just don't think they've ever put that... the drop catch and that semi-final to bed. I mean, they said they did in 2007. They said they'd all sat down and talked about it, and the pink elephant in the room had disappeared. But let's have a look. I think there's two in the room now.
So it's still lingering, you think? It's still in their heads?
Well, I don't know. I'm not in and around the group, but if I was playing against them, I'd be talking about that. And then you'd obviously be talking about this particular World Cup in the next one to them. Because they're obviously going to have players that will play in the next one. So there's plenty of scars there. And I just don't think they're dealing with it very well.
It was the greatest sledge in cricket history, wasn't it? You just dropped the World Cup. Was it Steve Waugh who said it at the time?
Steve Waugh said it to Herschel Gibbs when he dropped him. I can't remember how many he was on, but...
You've just dropped the World Cup.
Tugger just sort of sneaks one out of the side of his mouth. He said, "You've just dropped the World Cup."
Did you play in that, Roy?
No, that was 99. I played 2003, 2007.
What a great call. I just wonder, worrying about a bowling lineup a little bit, Roy? Like, do you think, what do you, we Stark and Cummins, obviously great frontline attack. I'm just wondering, that third banana in our pace attack, that's going to be the one India, et cetera, New Zealand target. Do you think that's, I'm a bit worried about that. Is that a concern for you, Andrew?
Potentially, but it all depends how they start. Look, if they're none or one down when we bring that, bring, say, a Stoinis or a Coulton Isle on, you can attack in a different way. But if they're three or four down, you can't attack with the same vigour because you can't afford to lose another wicket that middle period. So there is a lot of onus on Stark and Cummins taking early wickets. But by the same token, I'm a believer in finals. If in a semi or a World Cup final, if you win the toss and the wicket's good, you bat first and you put the runs on the board and say, rightio, if you're good enough under all this pressure to get them, well, you deserve to win.
Roy, are you happy with how the Aussies are travelling? Do you think they're just going beautifully, ready to win it?
Yeah, well, as sort of, you don't want to peak, I suppose, at the right time. Obviously, you want to play well and be winning games, and that lifts you, you boost your confidence levels. But you don't want to be playing, I don't know, I suppose, your absolute best at the start. But if you are, it doesn't matter. And they haven't. And then I think they're just starting to get the snowballing effect now. You know, I think they're really shaping up nicely. And the runs and wickets have been spread around. So, you know, the camp should be very confident. They've had a good lead-up so far.
Roy, what about Dave Warner? I mean, he was always going to be the story of the World Cup because he, you know, had some popularity issues, fair to say, after Sandpaper Gate. How have you assessed his response? Because he looks like he's slower to begin his innings. Yep. But what is he, most runs for the tournament now? It's been pretty emphatic.
Yeah, oh, I think he's really thought about the way he's going to play this World Cup because he knows he needs to do well, obviously for popularity and obviously for his own doing. So I reckon he's gone about it really well. He seems to be humble, but he's still enjoying himself, and obviously did it, you know, 160 odd in a World Cup game is unbelievable. So No, he seems to be tracking nicely. I think his feet, he's starting to move a lot better. I think his footwork was sort of a bit sluggish, but he's giving himself a chance, which is really encouraging to see. He's not, as you said, he's not rushing his innings. He's giving himself a bit of a platform to launch off, and then when he gets in, we see the David Warner of old, and he tear a side apart.
And just before we let you go, Roy, are you sticking with the Aussies, and who do you see in that final?
Look, I've got a feeling it depends on who you draw. Obviously, you might get knocked out by someone, but I'm thinking at this stage Australia or India, or Australia or England, depending on
a juicy final.
And you said it, Roy, the English and the South Africans are chokers, mate. You called it. My mate's been talking about it for weeks.
I tell you what, we all would like to see is Australia play England the final. We beat them there.
Oh yeah, that chokers. Would be good.
All right, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And you can catch Andrew Symon's great work on Fox and as well on KO because it has all the World Cup action plus over 50 other sports. Can I just say on KO, and this is not a plug, but I'm obsessed with it. You can, with the World Cup at the moment, they do these amazing 25-minute highlights packages. Yep. So if you wake up and you've missed the game.
That's the best way. The condensed versions are the great thing about KO, absolutely.
Why, though, isn't Nathan Lyon playing in their team? Is Adam Zampa?
Zampa's their number one spinner.
He's a better spinner than Nathan Lyon,
no.
Is he?
Apparently for one day. Yeah.
Early nomination for Give Me a Spell.
That puzzles me as well.
Yeah.
How is he on the team?
The best off-spinner on the planet, isn't he? I don't get it. Thought. Anyway.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, some big footy matches coming up today with the Demons taking on the Dockers first up at the MCG. Jay, any late changes?
I'm on late change alert at Melbourne, Sarah, because there's a whisper going around that Jaden Hunt, yes, might have been a little bit unwell this week. So they're going to assess him before the first bounce. I probably think he's going to play, but whether you're starting forward or he has been starting forward, whether he plays mainly a forward role because he has been, he's not going to be 100%, let's be honest.
But wasn't Josh Kennedy for West Coast sick before the game on Thursday night? I heard he had tonsillitis and he came out and dominated, took 8 marks.
Very courageous, AFL players.
Sometimes being sick the challenge necessarily affect.
It will be interesting because the thing that has undone Fremantle this season has been speedy forwards. Like Charlie Cameron kicks some snags. Like Luke Ryan is one of the best intercepting defenders for Freo. But I reckon if anyone's going to get a hold of him, it could be a Jaden Hunt type. Jeff Gallant's not going to play, obviously, dislocated his shoulder at training throughout the week. So that's how teams are trying to pick apart the Fremantle defence with some speed. So Jaden Hunt, very important player, but not 100%
so. So who would come in then? Who's in the emergencies? Is it Spargo?
Yeah, maybe.
Someone like a Spargo?
Yeah, I like him. Tough nut. Goes hard, can play multiple positions. But I think Melbourne, I think, are hoping that he will play and expecting him to play at this stage.
Another intriguing battle today, St Kilda taking on the Lions at Marvel Stadium at 4:35. And we're going to be on Hanbury and Carlisle watch because they're back in the team, Jay.
Great, isn't it? Like, I think Daniel Hanbury would have been such a long start to the year for him. He would have been so frustrated. Comes over on a big deal, 5-year, $800,000 deal. He would have high expectations of himself, Jay. But what is the pass mark for Daniel Hanbury over the next 2 or 3 months?
Oh, I think you can pretty much write it in the book what he's going to produce today. I think Dan Hanbury's a guy that'll get, you know, between 23 and 27 touches. He'll play a solid game. He'll bring some leadership, some toughness around that midfield and a bit of class. And he'll play solid. I don't think we think he's going to come out and start being best on ground. Put the overalls on, just get to work. We know he's a gut runner. And I think that'll be exactly how he'll play. It's a bit like knowing that Andrew Gaff's going to rock up and get 30 every week. You know that Dan Hanbury, for this part of the year, I think he'll get his 24 touches. He'll play a role. He'll be good. But I don't think he'll be best on ground.
A lot of people hung it on this trade move from St Kilda, to be honest, over the past 12 months. You were, I reckon, the one person, Joey, who was bullish on this move. 5-year deal, $800,000.
Yep.
You were always being very supportive of Daniel Hanbury.
Yep.
So you rate the impact he can have, despite the fact that he hasn't played for 3 months, despite the fact that he stepped away from the leadership
group. Just thought, just because he'd been, and I didn't realise how significant, obviously, his body was with the how long it's taken him to get out in the park. But for me, it was always, well, I always want to bring really good players into your football club. And Dan Hanbury is that. So I think he'll go well. And he's a really important player. And I think he's still got a lot of good footy left in him.
Andrew Simon said, good call, Joey. Andrew Simon said something really interesting, I thought, before. Let's take a listen.
I just don't think they've ever put that the drop catch and that semi-final to bed.
The Saffers are still haunted by the Herschel Gibbs drop catch. What a great call. I absolutely love it. One of the most famous moments in cricket over the past 20 years. Would they still be talking about that, do you reckon, Joey?
I thought it was a bit of a stretch, but there's not many players. I don't think anyone would be playing in this tournament that played in 1999.
He'd be a brilliant sledger, Roy, wouldn't he?
It was a disastrous moment for the Saffers.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Now, I'm a massive fan of Tony Jones, legend of the newsreading business and media. He's done it all and one of the most respected guys going around in the media. However, clearly he really stuffed it up when he said this, crossing to Sydney assistant coach Stephen Johnson last night.
One of football's modern rivalries reignites tonight with Buddy Franklin's Swans hosting Hawthorn. Let's go live now to the SCG. We're joined by Sydney assistant Stevie Johnson. Steve, look, finals, it's not Stevie Johnson, it's Stewie Jew. No, it's not. It is Stevie Johnson. Sorry, mate. Sorry, I'm having trouble seeing the monitor.
Our chompers.
There's so many lines there, isn't there? Anyway.
Clearly trying to take the mickey out of Stephen Johnson's
trying to crack a funny
weight gain. Now, sometimes you go with jokes, Joey, and they're just not that funny. Real lead balloon stuff. Yeah. Give me a spell, TJ. If you're going to go with a joke when you're crossing an assistant coach like that, it's got to be a funny one. It didn't quite work, did it? A bit awkward.
That's so good.
I reckon that'll pop up on the Sunday footy show tomorrow. I reckon that'll pop up somewhere. Awkward.
Joey, you'll give me a spell?
Might give me a spell. Now, we haven't spoken about this, but Jeremy McGovern getting 1 week for a football act where he tried to pressure the Essendon player on the boundary line, which you're entitled to do. Yes, unlucky for poor Guelphy, and hopefully he's okay, but he hit the chair, which was inside the ground, and also hit the fence, and it was quite, you know, unsettling for young Guelphy, but it was an accident. And Jeremy McGovern, it was a football act. I can't believe he's been given a week for this, Jay. I have to challenge that. I'm staggered.
Is it his fault where they build the fence?
No, it's not his fault that it's not his fault that the chair was there and he hit the chair. And it's not his. Look, if Guelphy had to put his hand up and somehow got and saved himself from getting concussed or hitting the fence, there's no penalty. But because he hurts himself, Jeremy McGovern, for a football act, gets 1 week. Spot I'm staggered by that. Give me a spell,
so
MRO.
There's no obligation for McGovern in that sense to kind of
not when he's on the
protect
not when he's inside
mode?
The boundary line no? on the football field. He's allowed to pressure a handball.
You're not
do it legally
in footy anymore.
It was a shove to the side. You're allowed to do it legally. Unfortunately, accidents happen in football. You can't get suspended for that. I hope West Coast challenge. Give me a spell.
Is it McGovern Construction and Co. Suddenly he must have built that fence.
Yeah,
it must be his fault.
I couldn't believe that.
Fair dinkum.
Anyway, I got that off my chest. Good
finishing how you started the show, Joey.
Yeah,
on fire,
up.
And I like it. My give me a spell goes to Israel Folau, who started a GoFundMe page. Oh. Give me a spell, Izzy. When you look at that page, you're sitting next to kids that have cancer, and they're the ones that need money, not you. Give me a spell.
The world's gone mad.
Well said.
Absolutely gone mad if he, who has made millions out of sport, is got
a GoFundMe page.
I'm out.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Bit of a different Dead Set Legend, but if you want to see a legitimate Dead Set Legend playing local footy today, my old mate Stevie Milne, who I must say has been in a good paddock like myself,
Tip Rat,
is playing at Lower Plenty today out in the northern suburbs, my neck of the woods. He's playing with one of my best mates, actually, Fabian Dorblow. He's got the tats. He looks like Dane Beam, so you'll see Fabian out there. But Milne is playing for Lower Plenty today versus Bundoora out in the northern suburbs. If you want to see one of the greatest small forwards of all time, I don't think he's still got the same nimbleness he had when he played at St Kilda.
Nimbleness.
But Milne... Milne, Dead Set Legend of the Week, is playing local footy today. So go out and watch Lower Plenty Bundoora if
what
you want
time?
To see Milne. I presume 2 o'clock, Sarah, at local
2 footy. 2 o'clock?
Time.
Get a little dimmy down there.
Absolutely.
All right, that's all from us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Up next, it's the Saturday Rub.